Blog Talk Radio.
Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you all the way from Durham, North Carolina. If you would like to be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything that's related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. I will not tolerate ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, insults, things of that sort, excessive profanity. If you feel like you need to indulge in any of those activities, then this show is not for you. I will push the kick button, and you will suffer the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat, which means you will go bye-bye, okay? I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. We can all disagree without losing respect for one another. So just keep that in mind, and hopefully you will get enough out of this program. Okay. Right now, I am trying something. I'm doing a live stream on StreamYard and trying to do the show, you know, simultaneously on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm hoping my sound comes through pretty good. You know, this is a technique I want to use more in the future, and we'll see how that goes after today's show. And those of you all who are watching on Facebook, you might be watching on Facebook. Let me go here now. Facebook's not pulling up. Seems to be a little latency in my video here, but Let's see. But we'll see. We'll see if anyone is watching. We'll see if anyone is, doing whatever. And hopefully we'll get some comments, and I'll post those as they come. I'm not what you call technologically savvy or anything like that, but just wanted to try this, because in the future I do want to do my own radio broadcast and whatever, things like that, have my own studio set up, and maybe this is just a start. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about today, I'm not sure if you all have watched the State of the Union by Joe Biden earlier this week. From what I can gather, not too many people watched it. It was one of the lowest State of the Union speeches ever. About 11 million people tuned in to watch Joe Biden, do his thing, speak and whatever. Which makes me a little suspicious about that 80 million that voted for him. They don't seem to be too interested in old Joe right now. So, it was very low rated. Hardly anyone watched it. I determined I wasn't going to watch it anyway because, I really do believe that Joe Biden stole the election. Well, not Joe Biden himself, but his supporters to win the election by stealing it. And, I will still recognize him as the president. If I were to see Joe Biden right now, I'd call him Mr. President, and I would respect that office. But as far as I'm concerned, he is not a legitimate president because I really don't believe that he won this election fair and square. Just a bunch of people who hated Donald Trump because Donald Trump is a racist, he's a misogynist, he doesn't care about the American people, and people wanted to do whatever they could to get rid of Donald Trump because we hate Donald Trump. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about today was, is America racist? And I want to pose that question to my listeners right now. Is America racist? And for those of you all who, I don't know, you might know me, then again, you might not know me, but I'm 6 months removed from my 52nd birthday, which means in another 6 months, I will be 53 years old. And during that entire time of me being, during my entire time in this life, I have been an American. I was born in Roanoke, Virginia in October of 1968, and I have never stepped foot outside of this country. Not one time, not even momentarily. So I consider myself to be an American. Now, I understand history and what happened in history, the Jim Crow laws, the time of slavery, things of that sort. And a lot of people want to use that to say that America is a racist country because of what happened in the past, and it's still going on today and whatever. Now, let me let you all know something. In my 52 and a half years of living, I have never been pulled over by the police because I was black. I've never been accosted because I was black. Had a few white people call me the N-word. Probably two white people in my entire life have called me the N-word. But when it comes to black folks, I probably had more black people call me the N-word than I can even count on all my digits. That includes my hands and my feet. And I've never had that problem that a lot of people say most black people are facing today. Most of my teachers growing up were white, and they never shown any inkling of racism in them. Matter of fact, I was spoken of very highly. I've been spoken of very highly by my white teachers when I was growing up. no sense of racism or anything like that. But people today still think we live in a racist country because America once had slaves, and, you know, we are systematically racist and all this and everything. And the thing about systemic racism, nobody has been able to prove that systemic racism is a thing in the United States. Nobody has been able to prove that with any type of amplitude that America is a racist country and that we're overcome by systemic racism. And systemic racism means that basically there are hidden codes of racism within the laws that run this country. In other words, if you read the Constitution real carefully, you're bound to pick up on the systemic racism that is bound thereat. You know, they bring up the three-fifths clause, which three-fifths clause does not say that black people are three-fifths of a person. And people keep pushing that point, but that had to do with representation. That had nothing at all to do with us as a people, because people in the South, they wanted to view black people as property. You know, black people, to a lot of slave owners, black people weren't people. They were property. But when it came time for elections, then they wanted to say, okay, all my black people, you know, we'll have them represented. You know, we'll have them counted as people, and that would give them an edge in the elections. So they came to a compromise, and they said, okay, you'll count your slaves, not necessarily black people. Of course, the slaves were black, but it wasn't about demeaning black people. It was saying, okay, we'll have you count your slaves as three-fifths of a person, so there will be a fair amount of votes for representation and things like that. And that's where the three-fifths clause comes from. And people today still think that we still walking in the three-fifths clause, that black people, they still see us as three-fifths of a person. No, they do not. Hey there, bring it, boy. But the three-fifths clause had nothing to do with our actual, you know, being as people. It really had nothing to do with that. Oh, Yahweh, hey, you on furlough from prison? that's my sister, Yahweh Kai. It seems like every time I look up, she's always in Facebook jail. But can you all give me a thumbs up or whatever if you can hear me, if you can barely hear me or whatever, you know, just let me know, because I'm trying something new today. Just let me know if you can hear me good. But back to America being a racist nation, you know, a lot of people make it like, you know, we are racist. And they say that America is inherently a racist nation because our original sin was slavery. And, you know, and the argument goes that America was built on slavery. That's how this country came to be, you know, when they brought the first slaves over in 1600s, you know, and this is what America was built on. But see, if you will read history carefully, you'll find out America, or the United States of America, really didn't come into play until about the mid-1700s. And you have things like the T-19 Project, you know, that is teaching our children today that that America was an inherently racist nation, that it was formed to enslave people, especially black people, and that is where we are today. And black people are still being misrepresented in this country. Now, there's a lot of problems with that, first of all. When the shores of America, back then it wasn't known as America, but when they were first settled, yes, there were slaves, okay? But we weren't known as the United States of America. You hear people talking about today that, you know, the slaves, They do. We're the ones that built this nation. We built this nation. We black people, we built this nation. None of you all today have helped to build this nation. And even though we had slavery, we can't say that slavery was what helped to build this country. Yes, there was slavery. Yes, it was horrible. Yes, it was bitter. Yes, it was. But we can't say that the United States was built on the backs of slaves. We can't say that. But the powers that be, they say that right now. You know, they make it like, you know, we were victims back then. We're still victims today because of the color of our skin. And, you know, this type of thinking has interwoven itself into our infrastructure. And, you know, it's like when the Irish did have a big part in building America. But whenever you watch a TV show or whatever, and it features a black cast or mostly black cast or a black cast that has some significance in the show, they always want to throw in some type of social justice issue. I'll give you a good example. I don't know if any of you all have watched The Falcon and The Winter Soldier show on Disney Plus, and it features two comic book characters named Falcon and Winter Soldier. And now, I'm a Marvel fan. I'm a Marvel fan. I like watching Marvel movies and everything and stuff like that. I'm a big time. And I was watching this show, and see, whenever I watch a program that features a significant black cast, I get a little cautious when I watch it because I know the social justice issues are going to come out. Of course, Hollywood is trying to get woke today. They're trying to make more recognition for black folks, and they're trying to give more black folks awards, and they're trying their diversity and all this crazy mess and everything. And so basically Hollywood is saying, hey, black folks, hey, we're not racist. Hey, we got you in our movies. We got you here. We got you there. And let's throw in some of these social issues that we hear on the news media. And, you know, this can reflect the reality that is going on in the country today. But the problem with that is, the social justice issues that you see it going on, being portrayed in Hollywood, it really does not reflect the reality of what we face in this country. Not one bit. Let me go here. And a lot of people, they're showing what we black people go through every day. And these people get up here and they start talking like they talk for all black people. Excuse me here. Let me get back to it. Okay. They talk like this is what happens with all black people. And the thing about it is when I see these issues on TV and they start their little, you know, social justice rants and everything, and they talk about this is what we all black people go through and everything, I feel kind of left out because nobody has come to me and talked to me. A lot of these people, they base their rhetoric not on actual facts, but they base it on how they feel. And when you base something on how you feel and then you couple it with this victimhood mentality, this is what has become the so-called reality in the black race today. This is a crazy mess. And so the other day, you know, like I was mentioning before I went on my tirade, Joe Biden made his speech the other day, you know, a couple of people watched it, and a senator named Tim Scott from South Carolina did a rebuttal. And in that rebuttal, Tim Scott, you know, basically, what Tim Scott said was, you know, I've been pulled over for no reason. I've had people follow me around, you know, boo-hoo, whatever. You know, that part of his speech, I think Tim Scott needs to really realize that just because you went through that doesn't mean all black people went through it. So that's a part of the speech I really didn't agree with. That may have happened to you, but that doesn't happen to all black people. But Tim Scott made a statement that got people's panties in a bind. He said, America is not a racist country. He said, America is not a racist country. And if I can pull up this soundbite right quick, see if I can pull up this soundbite. And hopefully this will play. Let the music play. Okay, bye. Uh-oh. The volume's not on. Oh, my volume will be on. What's up like this? Oh. Something's not working. Well, and I don't know why it's not working, but hey, you know, the show will go on. Oh, no wonder. Okay. Well, basically what Tim Scott was saying was that we are not a racist country. And, of course, you know, those on the left, you know, the apostles of blackness and the rest of their ilk, they wanted to, Tim Scott is an Oreo. You know, that means you're a black. You're black on the outside, but you act white on the inside. That's basically what Oreo means. And you have one Joy Behar. She's one of the cackling hens on that show called The View. And she gets up there like she knows what's going on with the black race, and she's an expert in everything and stuff like that. And she gets up there talking about, well, maybe America is not a racist country, but we do have systemic racism. Now, let me stop right there. America is not a race. You cannot not be a racist country, but you still have systemic racism. If a country has systemic racism, it's a racist country. It's a racist country. But she wanted to get up there like she's instructing Tim Scott on, you know, maybe you're supposed to be black, but let me educate you on your blackness, you know. And you have people thinking like this, and they don't really realize how stupid they really sound. Oh, America might not be a racist country, but there is systemic racism. If the racism is systemic, then that means it is woven into the fiber, the very fiber of the infrastructure of this country, which means this country is a racist country. But America is not a racist country. And I say kudos to Tim Scott for pointing that out. America is not a racist country. But you got our little friends, excuse me, got something flying in here. I don't know what that is. You got our friends at the Root. You got our little friends at the Root. They wanted to correct Tim Scott, too. And now, those of you all who don't know what the Root is the Apostles of Blackness Bible. It's the bastion of, let's just say, black racism against white folks. The Root is supposed to be some website, you know, and supposed to be some journalism website that supports black folks. And basically, when you read The Root, you find out that these people are just a bunch of idiots. I'm just going to say that. The people at The Root are a bunch of idiots. They took issue with Tim Scott. And I'm not going to read the entire article. I just wanted to get to a certain part of the article where they say that they have the proof that America is a systemically racist country. Now, before we get into this, Let me just define what racism is. The true definition of racism, not what you hear the apostles of blackness talking about. The true definition of racism. The true definition of racism, I don't even have to read a dictionary to figure out what racism is. It is basically holding your race, the race that you are part of, above another race. That's basically what racism is. If you are a black person and you think your race is the bee's knees and all the others should just bow down to you, they're inferior to you, then you are a racist. Same thing if you're a white person, if you're a Hispanic person, if you're Indian or whatever. That is what racism is. Of course, you got the apostles of blackness, you know, went to alter that definition and say that, racism, it incurs power. It has to do with power. It has to do with political power. It's a political construct. And only white people can be racist. Black people can't be racist. We can be biased. We can be prejudiced. Can't be racist. Well, what do you think racism is? Racism is bias and prejudice. If you're biased against white people, you are a racist. No, it has to do with political power. Okay, well, let's go to some African countries where there is some persecution, where there is persecution of white folks by black folks. Are you going to say those black folks over there, are you going to say they're racist? Of course you're not, because you're black. You don't want to see black people as in a negative light. So, they ain't racist either. They're just reclaiming their land. But racism is holding the race that you are part of above all other races. That's all it is. Straight up, unfiltered definition of racism. Now, these rascals at the root, I need to pull this up. See what I'm getting here. Yeah, Joe Biden knows what black is, you know, because if you didn't vote for Joe Biden, you ain't black. to those in my chat room, can you all tell me if you can hear me well? I'm having to raise my voice a little bit because I'm not sure if you can hear me well. I want to be sure that you guys can really hear me, because like I said, I'm using a different tactic, and if you all can let me know if you can hear me very well, and just let me know. But very good. Okay. I got you. Thank you there, Bring It Boy Yee. Sending prayers to Southern California over there. I'm part of my brother and sister over there. Okay, so, he said you feel the passion. Okay, thank you. Now, if you all are moseying on over to Facebook, I'm doing this live on Facebook through StreamYard. So, but Yahweh can't go over there because, she's in the clinker. So, but let me go over here and read this from the roots. Now, these people at the roots, like I said before, all they care about is black. Blackity, black, 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 black. All they care about, that's all they care about is black folks. Anything negative that happens to a black person because of a white person, that white person is deemed to be racist, be it a cop or, you know, someone on the street or a neighbor or something like that, they're racist because you did this to a black person. But when a black person does the same thing to a white person, they're not seen as racist. And see, that's what I have a problem with. But anyway, the root was to say they have the facts, America being a racist nation. They have all the facts. And they start this all by saying it is inarguable that America is a political system founded on the racist principles of slavery, the genocide of indigenous Americans, and a constitution that officially declared that a black life to be worth 60% of a don't know where they get this thing that the three-fifths clause meant that we were less than a white person. I don't know where they get that from. Genocide of indigenous Americans. And that this political system was founded on racism. I don't know where they get that from. But they think they are so intelligent. Oh, we got big brains around here. Oh, man. I got so much brains in my head. Let me give some to somebody else and they'll have the brains too. These people don't have the brains of a turnip. But anyway, here are their facts right here. These are the facts that America is a racist nation. The typical black American family is worth 10% of the average white family. So tell me how that's racist. Tell me how that's racist. Black people are more likely to be denied a mortgage or an auto loan even when they have the same credit and employment history. Show me the facts of that. Show me the facts. Show that to me. Show me the comparison. Use specifics. See, right here, they're just using vague language. A home in a black neighborhood is worth $48,000 less than an identical home in a white neighborhood, even if both neighborhoods have the same resources, amenities, and crime rate. Once again, show the facts. And they have some links here to their facts. Really, these do not show that this is racist. 50 years, the black unemployment rate has hovered between 2 and 2.5 times the white unemployment rate. That is until Donald Trump came in. But of course, you don't want to give him credit for that. Let's go on down. Now they saying this is proof of the racism of America. Let's go on. Black men earn 87 cents for every dollar a white man earns. And if you think the pay gap is due to a lack of education, black women, the most educated demographic in America, are among the lowest paid. A black woman with a master's degree makes roughly the same salary as a white man with an associate's degree. Show me the comparisons. Show me the comparisons. Don't give me links to other articles that prove your point, so to speak. Show me the comparisons. Even when wages are controlled for education, years of experience, occupation, and other compensable factors, that's a word I've never encountered before, black workers earn about $2,000 less per year, a difference in salary that Jackson Groover, a data analyst at Compensation Data and software firm PayScale, and is likely attributable to race. Just because he said it? So where are these comparisons, really? Because I can be honest with you, almost every job I've been on, my pay was almost comparable to that of white people. You think someone's in there saying, "Oh, he's black. I'm just gonna cut his pay a little bit because he's black." A lot of black people don't make themselves competitive in the workplace. A lot of them show attitude, but see, we don't figure that into why black people get paid less than white folks. We just think we get paid less than white folks simply because we're black. And that's not the case. I mean, let me keep going. In fact, according to math, there's math geniuses now, the gap in median annual earnings increases with education. Yeah. Okay. And they had this graph here. Let me keep going down. Now, here's the political side. While the United States population is made up of 60% non-Hispanic white citizens, Congress is 77% white. And why is that? You got people, folks, they think this is a racism. And you you don't realize that black people have a play in the voting process, and black people are vote. How many black people? What percentage of black people voted for Joe Biden or any of the rest of these white Democratic senators? See, you see how vague, you know, it's vague. Their claims are vague. They have nothing backing it up. Every single state legislature is disproportionately white, meaning every state has a greater percentage of white lawmakers than the population they represent. I wonder why. What percentage of black folks make up this country? What is it, 12%? And what percentage of white people make up this country? About 60, 65%. But, oh, no, it's racism. Okay, let's keep going. 80% of sitting federal judges are white and 33% are men. Okay, yeah, okay. People in black neighborhoods wait on average 29% longer to vote than people who live in white neighborhoods, and I can tell you right now that's a lie. That is a straight-up lie. Ain't no black person in this country has any difficulty in voting if you go through the process the right way, just like anybody else. No difficulty in voting. But once again, they come up with these talking points they have nothing to back it up with, but they just rely on their vague talking points. Let's see, 29% longer. I don't know where they got that from. In the 2016 election, of course, that's the year that Donald Trump got elected. In the 2016 election, black voters were 79%. More likely than white voters to wait for more than 30 minutes before casting a ballot. We're at. And even if they did have to wait that long, did they get the vote? Did they get the vote? Yeah, they got the vote. I mean, this is based on stupidity, folks. Now, and I'm not trying to say that my situation is just like every black person's situation, but most of the time when I have gone in to vote, it'll take me less than 15 minutes. Most of the time I'm in and out, no time. Don't have to wait in a long line or anything. Go in there, show my ID, you know, sign. They give me my poll, and I go and vote. Boom. There have been sometimes I've been in and out in less than 10 minutes. So, you know, and I'm not saying this is every black person's experience, but I still voted. I still got the vote. So what if I had to wait 45 minutes? So what? I remember going with my mom and dad back in the time when Jimmy Carter was elected. We were in that line for a long time. And guess who else was in that line for a long time? White folks. I remember one of my classmates. He was like, "Hey, Vincent, how you doing?" He was a white guy. They were behind. They were further behind in the line than we were. Don't give me this garbage, this crap. Tim Scott took office in 2012. Poll closings have disproportionately occurred in non-white precincts. Once again, give me the evidence. Don't give me the links. Give me the evidence. Barack Obama is not only the first black president, which he really isn't, he was the first black presidential nominee of a major political party, the first black person to win a single electoral vote, and the first black person to win a state. And 244 years, there have only been 24 black cabinet members, and only Charles Curtis, Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, Barack Obama, and Kamala Harris have been in the top five of the presidential line of succession. So where does the racism come in at? Show me the racism. You know, like that movie, Jerry Maguire, show me the money. Show me the racism. And keep in mind, Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell were appointed by George Bush. You see how they leave little details out? let me continue on because these folks are silly. These folks are real silly. Throughout the history of the country, 1,994 people have served in the Senate. Kim Scott was only the fourth black person in American history to be elected to the Senate by popular vote. Since his election, only three more have been elected, meaning black people make up one half or 1% of the total number of senators. So, how is that evidence of racism? Well, we need more black people. Well, no, you need more qualified black people. See, Tim Scott made it because he's qualified. And see, therein lies the problem. A lot of black people, the reason why they're not getting these positions, CEOs and football coaches and representatives and everything, because they are not qualified. It has nothing to do with people holding them back from becoming leaders in these various areas. They're not qualified. These people, I tell you, the root. Oh, here we go. Here's the interesting one, criminal justice. Hope you guys are sitting down. Hope you guys are sitting down. Before I do that, let me get back to here. Let's see. Boom, 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 boom. Let's see. Uh-oh. Messed that up. Okay. And Yahweh Kai, of course, this is why me and Yahweh Kai are friends, because Yahweh Kai has common sense. She says, I am black, and I was able to get two loans with my great credit score. The show is under my name, Vincent E. Brown. You should be able to see it. And that's something I probably need to work out the next time I do something like this, too. Yahweh says, many blacks don't even compete, don't even get competitive degrees. True. Now, there's truth right there. These emotional blacks always spewing racism, but wouldn't dare vote for a black Republican. Yahweh, you need to say that for the people in the back. And see, one of the things I had to correct a lot of people on, they said Barack Obama only became president because he was black. No, he wasn't. It wasn't because he was black. It was because he carried the Democratic toe line, and he was black. And they were like, oh, this is a perfect storm right here. But most of these people who voted for Barack Obama because supposedly he was black, they wouldn't have voted for Herman Cain or Larry Elder or Clarence Thomas. They wouldn't have voted for them because they're coons. Before 2020, I was out in less than 10 minutes. I was in and out in less than 10 minutes. In 2020, I was waiting for 2 hours with every race. Exactly. Black people, you know, we can't get to the polls because they don't want us to vote. Have you actually talked to black people who are able to vote? Have you ever talked to them instead of hearing these little sob stories about, oh, we couldn't get in? Yes, you could. Anyway, let me continue on with LaRoute. Here we go. Here's the subject of criminal justice. This, I hope you guys are sitting down. Black men are sentenced to 20% longer sentences than white men who commit the same crime and have the same criminal history. Now, this is a point I keep hearing people pushing all the time, but they never show the proof. Never. 7 out of every 10 suspects held in jail without bail are non-white. I wonder why. Did they just go down the street and they say, hey, there's a black person, let's put them in jail. Hey, there's a brown person, let's put them in jail. Hey, there's a yellow person, let's put them in jail. Y'all got to be stupid if you believe that. Bail for white suspects is, on average, lower than bail for black suspects, despite the fact that white suspects are more likely to commit a crime while out on bail. How are you sure about that? Are you sure about that white people are going, or is it more white people that commit a crime while they're on bail than black people? That doesn't mean they're more likely to commit a crime. Police are 20% more likely to stop black drivers. And black drivers are twice as likely to be searched, even though police are more likely to find contraband on white drivers. So, hey, look, there's a black person. Let's pull him over. Let's search his car. Come on, get the dog. Come on, worker. Sniff that car. There's got to be some drugs in there somewhere because these are black folks. Y'all got to be kidding me. Once again, something I believe this is something that people conjured up in their minds, and the links that they use to prove their points, it doesn't confirm their points, but it fits along with their talking points. That's all. But it's not proof. 20%. I have never been searched by a police officer. Never. I've been pulled over maybe 4 or 5 times. I have never been searched by a police officer. Not one time. They didn't tell me, hey, you, get out of the car. We're going to search your car. Lenny, get Fang Face out here. We need his nose right quick. Come on, Lenny, get the dog. Come on. I ain't never had that happen. You know why? Because I'm not a lawbreaker. Even though I did break the law of speeding a couple of times, wish I could have gotten out those tickets, but I broke the law. Let's see. White people use illegal drugs more often than black Americans. Where's the proof of that? White people sell more drugs than black Americans. Proof. And every year from 1980 to 2007, black people were arrested nationwide on drug charges at rates relative population that were 2.8 to 5.5 times higher than white arrest rates, according to Human Rights Watch. Once again, they're just, wait a minute, he's black. We gotta do something about this because he's black. And if you don't want to be arrested for doing drugs, then the solution is simple. Don't do them in the first place. I've never done drugs. I ain't so much as smoked a joint in my life. You want to know why? Because back in the day when they told us that drugs were bad, I took that mess to heart. And I was like, I ain't getting involved with no drugs. You can forget that mess. I made that decision. But, they want to get the black people on, when white people were getting hooked on cocaine, it was just, they went to rehab, but black people get hooked on crack, we go to jail. Show me the statistics. Show it to me. Pretend I'm from Missouri and show me. Show me. Anyway, white defendants are 25% more likely to have criminal charges against them reduced to a less serious crime. Now, I know that's a lie because I've seen several black folks get their sentences reduced. Let's see. According to a study by Northwestern University, over their course of life, black men are about 2.5 times more likely to be killed by police. Now, y'all, this is a serious lie. They are 2.5 times more likely to be killed by police, while black women are about 1.4 times more likely to be killed by police than are white women. Now, I know that's a lie, because more white people are killed by the police than black people every year. Almost twice as many white people are killed by police officers. But, of course, we don't believe that because we don't see it on the evening news. White people kill more police. I'm not so sure about that one, especially here lately. White people are more likely to resist arrest. I'm not so sure about that one either. Police are least likely to use force against white. Oh, boy. Okay. I need some Tylenol or something because I think I just felt a headache. Police are least likely to use force against white people. Now, where do you all get that one from? Boy, I tell you, oh, man. Woo, I tell you. Slip a 50 if you get pulled over. Yeah, you know what? I might carry some cash in my vehicle just for that, you know, just for that purpose. Yeah, same here, Yahweh. Yeah, I was in the wrong a couple of times, too, and I was let go two times when I was in the wrong. And they let me go. They didn't search my car. They didn't say, get out of their car. Put your hands behind your back. Never did it. Okay, let me get back to our buddies at the Roots. Education. Oh, boy, here's another good one. Education. What are they going to say on this one? The average non-white school district receives $2,226 less per student than a majority white school district. And you think that leads to our kids being less educated? Like I've always said on this show, education begins at home. What type of atmosphere do they have at home? You really don't need all this money to teach children. How much does it cost to teach a child that 2 + 2 = 4, that there are 50 states in the United States? See, right there, I just gave you that information free. How much money does it take? It does not. This is just an excuse that they make to cover their tails because a lot of our kids are failing in school, and it has nothing to do with the amount of money that are being spent in the schools. Not one iota of it has to do with that. It has to do with what is going on at home. A lot of parents, they're not being parents. That's why their kids are growing up to be stupid. Let me go on. On average, the richest black school district than the poorest white school. What? On average, the richest black school district is better funded than the poorest white school district. Okay. Why is that a problem? Non-white schools are less likely to offer advanced-level academic courses than white schools, regardless of income. Okay, show me. Black children are punished more often and receive harsher punishment than white kids, regardless of the type of disciplinary action, level of school, poverty, or type of public school attendance. Oh, yeah, let's just pick on the black kids. Yeah, okay. Black girls are disciplined more harshly over dress codes and hair policies. I don't know where they get that from because most girls that I've known that came in black girls that were disciplined for their dress policy, that they deserved it. And there are white girls that are, you know, they are disciplined for their dress policy, their type of dress, excuse me, than black girls are. And what do they say? And hair policies. Now, see, right there, you know, they're talking about the hair policies. Oh, we're being discriminated because they hate black hair. But see, you have to specify what situation. They're not just saying, oh, black girls have hair. We don't like black hair, so you got to do something with your hair. And I ain't never heard no mess like that. When I was coming up in school, I ain't never heard no girls being disciplined because of their hair. And some of them had some bad-looking hair, too. Some of us boys had bad-looking hair. I had the nappiest naps that ever napped a nap. That's why my hair is so short now, because this junk gets unruly. And no one ever told me, Betsy, you need to go back home and pick your hair or use a comb or something. I don't know where they get this from. Black girls are 7 times more likely to be suspended from school and 4 times more likely to be arrested at school compared to white girls, according to a study by Black Girls Matter. Oh, boy, here we go. Okay, I'm not even going to entertain that one. Social issues. Here's another good one. I might have to cut it right now because it's almost at the top of the hour, and I'll probably conclude this at the top of the hour. But this is some of, now, if you all, I should have put a link to this one. It's at the Root, you know, the Super Black website, you know, where all that matters is the color of your skin, basically. And these are articles that I pulled up out of the Root. And people, when you go to the Root, you know, and you read some of their articles, it's like some of your brain cells just get burned out because the stupidity that is inherent on that site is just mind-boggling. It just blows your mind. It's like, my goodness, I feel like I got the side of my head blown off by a 357 Magnum. It's crazy the mess that they believe. And they say this is signs of racism. When you got people, when you got black folks like myself who grew up in the 70s and the 80s, I was in the top 10 of my age group for reading back in the mid-70s. Outread everybody in my class, black, white, Hispanic, Oriental. I was outreading everybody. I was in my class. I was the top reader, black kid. And I can tell you, I am a nondescript black person. You know, you see me like, oh, okay, that's a black man right there. Yeah. I don't look Indian. I don't look Aboriginal. I don't look Hispanic or anything like that. I look like your typical black man. In the mid-70s, I was out reading everybody. Don't give me this garbage that it takes, you know, we need more money in our schools. This is why our black kids are failing. And it seems like the more money we throw at these schools, Baltimore, the more money we throw at these schools, it seems like the dumber our kids get. But you keep saying that our kids will get smarter if we throw more money, if we throw more money at the situation, and they're not getting smarter. You don't need a lot of money to teach a child that 2 + 2 = 4. You don't need a lot of money to teach a child that there are 7 continents on the face of this planet. And I don't know where people get that idea from. We need more money. We need more money. We need more money. And you keep begging and begging and begging, and the government just waves that dollar in front of you like a carrot in front of a donkey, and you just go chasing the money. Oh, yeah, money. We need more money. And while you're chasing the money, you're forgetting that you need an education. When you got people like Booker T. Washington and all these people in the past that taught themselves how to read, Don't give me this garbage about, black schools get funded less than white schools. Okay, that ain't no excuse. Anyway, let me go here and I'm telling you, let me go here and do my advertisements. And let me give a shout out to my folks in the chat room. Bring it, Boye, Flycatch, and Yahweh Kai 7. Thank you all for coming to the show. You all are listening to Black by Color Only.
In the world of business, it is always exciting to announce the formation of a new one and an LLC to boot. Enter now, I Am the Sky Drone Services, LLC, based out of Jamestown, Indiana, but working out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87112. With drones being the big up-and-coming billion-dollar industry, Eye in the Sky has gotten in close to the ground floor, and the possibilities are almost endless. From photography and weddings from above, to photographing homes for realtors, all the way to mapping, Eye in the Sky Drone Services, LLC, affiliated with Garden Graphics and Printing, can attain all your needs in photography from a perspective that was hard to attain to before without a good amount of risk to your employees. That's Eye in the Sky Drone Services, LLC at 505-317-8741 or email us at guardingr@reagan.com. That's guardingr@reagan.com. And the phone number again is 505-317-8741. We are your one-stop shop for drone services and printing needs. Give us a call. We do it all.
Stream on Facebook. I hope people are able to see that. If not, I'm going to have to correct some bugs and whatever. This is you know, something I wanted to do. And welcome back to Black My Color Only. If you want to be a guest, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. And I want to read some things in my chat room. Yahweh Kai 7 says, in my school, black girls are the real issue. They are so petty, instigate the most, and constantly keep things going. They are relentless in bullying. Oh, my goodness. I think the biggest bullies in any school you go to are the black girls. And I'm not saying this because I'm trying to be a coon or anything. I'm telling you, these black girls, they are, like Yahweh Kai says, they are relentless. I mean, they are just crazy bullying. But, oh, it, the problem is the white folks, though. He showed us what a black culture was all about and how it impacted American society. Yes, Colin Flaherty, of course, he's a white guy because he's a white guy. So he doesn't know what goes on in black neighborhoods. But if you can't tell me that you can read any of his books and not come out with the sense that there's a serious problem going on in our black communities. And this guy lays it out, and he doesn't care how white you think he is or anything like that. He's going to tell it to you like it is. White girl bleed a lot. Don't make the black kids angry. The knockout game, those are three of his books. And I haven't heard much from Colin Flaherty lately. They still had a podcast of White Girl Bleed a Lot, but Colin Flaherty hasn't been hosting it lately. I'm wondering about his health. I hope his health hasn't taken a turn for the worse or anything like that. But, you know, I haven't heard much from him lately. But he is the foremost white authority on what's going on in the black communities. And he knows what he's talking about, and he just lays it to you straight. But, just go to Amazon, look up Colin Flaherty. I'm telling you, the guy knows his stuff. And, of course, people don't like him because, you know, he's talking about the black people. Well, if the black people would stop acting stupid, then he wouldn't have to talk about them. But anyway, let me go on back to my article by The Root. Kind of makes you think of root workers or something like that, you know, Miss Cleo or something like that. But let me go here. And before I go any further, I just wanted to say that what I've been explaining before the end of the first hour was that The Root, they're showing you all these excuses and they're quote-unquote facts of why America is a racist nation. And here, the issue is about social issues right here. It says, black children born in the bottom fifth of income earners have about a 2.5% chance of reaching the top fifth of the income bracket. White children, by contrast, have a 10.6% because of white privilege. Or is it because the white children work harder to get what they earn? I mean, just keep that in mind. We just throw these things out. We say, oh, this is a sign of white privilege in this country. No, it is not. Are black children applying themselves harder? Are their parents getting on them saying, hey, I need you to try harder. I need you to work harder. Are they doing that? Then you'll get your answer. For 99% of the neighborhoods in the U.S., black men earn less as adults than white men who grew up in comparable neighborhoods with comparable families. Okay, give me the proof of that. And once again, when I take these bullet points, I want proof. I want to see the actual statistics that show that this is true. Children who grow up in two-parent homes do worse economically than white children who grew up in poor single-parent homes. Now, that is a lie. That is a – folks, before the 60s, before the Great Society came and rescued poor black people, black children that lived in two-parent homes, they were basically more successful than the white people were. Of course, y'all didn't hear that statistic. Even though we went through more discrimination back in that time, we were successful. We carried ourselves with dignity. We dressed up correctly. We didn't have this hood mentality. Yo, man, what's up? We ain't have any of that. Now, that is a lie right there. Black children who grow up in two-parent homes do worse economically than white children. Show me the comparison there. Don't show me an article that quote-unquote proves your point. Show me the comparison. Oh, now this one, y'all, you all get ready for this one. This next one is just totally idiotic. Blacks have less access to clean water and air. Oh my goodness! Somebody just went off with on the deep end in their thought process. Blacks have less access to clean water and air, and of course the example they want to use is that's going on up in Flint, Michigan, which that's affecting black and white people. I don't know where in the world it says the clean water and air. Are you serious? The only reason why that might be is because blacks tend to congregate in the urban areas. But they don't have less access to clean water and air. Let me go on. The typical white person lives in a neighborhood that is 75% white and 8% black, while the typical black person's neighborhood is 45% African American. The U.S. Partnership on Mobility from Poverty reports. That's a lie. The typical black person's neighborhood is 45% African American. No, it isn't. Might be higher than that. Might be 90% black. And I don't like the term African American. I don't like using that term, but your typical black neighborhood is mostly black. Same as in a white neighborhood or Hispanic neighborhood or anything. So once again, that's not racism. According to Dr. Daryl J. Gaskin, excuse me here, Deputy Director of the Hopkins Center for Health Disparity Solutions at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, 25.6% of African Americans live in healthcare deserts, codes with few or no primary care physicians, compared to 13.2% of whites. But guess what they got a lot of in the black neighborhoods? They got a lot of Planned Parenthood clinics in black neighborhoods. You might not be able to get that health care, but you'd be able to kill your baby. 12% of non-elderly black people are uninsured compared to 7.8% of white Americans. So why is that a white problem? If you're uninsured, get some insurance. I mean, why is that a white problem? Oh, I tried to get some insurance, but they turned me away because I'm black. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to do better than this. Now, Tim Scott would tell you that these are unequal outcomes. He would say that racism is something else, then define it so narrowly that evidence of racism requires a burning cross and DNA markers that spell out the N-word. But I invite you to scroll up and look at the definition of racism, or better yet, pull out your own dictionary. Well, when I pull out my dictionary, it doesn't have the same definition of racism that the apostles of blackness are always pushing around. How does this not describe the systemic oppression of a racial group to the social, economic, and political advantage of another? It's no oppression, people. Show me the oppression. This is the textbook definition of a political or social system designed to execute the principles of racism. The only way anyone could deny these disparities were due to racism is that they believe that all the non-white people in history were resistant to hard work, were dumber, were more violent, or more succinctly, that race is the fundamental detriment of human traits and capacities. Nobody said that they were historically resistant to hard work. Nobody said that. You see how idiotic these people are that write these articles for the root are? They're idiots. They're a bunch of idiots. Your conservative fave would still call me a race baiter by pointing out all of these statistics. Yes, and I still would call you one, too. You are a race baiter. They would say that this is not evidence of racism. It isn't. They just dispute my agenda. They ask, what about what the Democrats did in 1838? They talk about Lincoln and the 1994 crime bill or whether or not I love Jesus. They never engage in an honest discussion of the facts and data because they are liars, they are racist, but in the spirit of fairness, I must admit one thing. Okay, what is this thing you must admit? Black news, opinions, politics, and culture, they're American as F. These people are straight up idiots. Man, get this mess off my screen. I tainted my screen reading this garbage. None of that stuff that I read from the root is signs of oppressive racism caused by white folks. Well, we don't have enough money in the black schools. That's why our kids are failing. Nah, your kids are failing because you got parents who are not being parents. You got parents who are not making sure that their children do their homework when they come home. You got parents who will let their kids play the video games when they should be studying. That's why our kids are so dumb. And not only that, we have so many opportunities that black people are not taking advantage of because they want to blame it on white people. Oh, nah, that's white folks' stuff. One of the things I notice about black children today is their lack of sense of wonder. Just look outside, hear the birds singing, look at the spider making her web, watch the snake slithering on the ground, look at how the flower blooms. They have no sense of wonder. That's why a couple of years ago I had some hood rats over here living in the same apartment building that I live in. They're going to destroy my hummingbird feeders. Because they're destructive little crumb snatchers. And their parents didn't tell them any better. Their parents didn't tell them, hey, if something doesn't belong to you, then you shouldn't touch it. Now the parents just go around, let them go around and do whatever, be destructive. And then when someone gets mad, oh, what did my child do? No sense of wonder. They don't take a part in their children's education. They don't make their homes an atmosphere that is conducive to their education. But then they want to blame the system. They want to blame white folks. Ain't the white folks' fault. And yeah, I know ain't a word, but I say that, you know, just to stress what I'm saying. I know ain't a word. You know, I'm a grammar Nazi. I understand that. Or as my wife calls me, grammar police. You know what? I need to make that into a T-shirt, grammar police. She had the right to remain silent. Any word you misspell will be held against you in a court of law. Anyway, but yeah, this is why our children are dumb. Don't blame the teachers. Don't blame the teachers. Don't blame school administrators. Don't blame taxpayers not paying enough money to the schools. White schools get more money than we do. That's why we're so far behind. And got nothing to do with no money. Like I said, how much money, once again, I will pose the question to you. How much money does it cost to teach a child that 2 + 2 = 4? Can't tell me, can you? And we think that by throwing money, this is going to make our kids better. And we've been throwing money for decades. And the more money we throw at the problem, the so-called problems that our kids are facing, the dumber they're getting. Because you got adults who, they started having children before they even grown up mentally. They don't know how to take care of their kids. The kids grow up the same way, and it just continues the cycle over and over and over again. But, we got a convenient excuse. Let's blame the white folks. Let's blame racist police officers. Let's blame the system, because the system is against us, and they have no proof that the system is actually against us. I mean, really. But these are just excuses that they pair with their victimhood mentality. And they think this is why things are not happening for them. Instead of understanding that you cannot depend on the government to do for you what you need to be doing for yourself. A lot of us are not even taking personal responsibility for our actions. And this is why black communities are falling behind. This is why our black communities are falling behind. You got people coming from Africa who come over here. Next thing you know, boom, they're owning businesses. They got houses. Don't tell me about systemic racism. And you got black people coming from other countries come over here and they end up being millionaires. Don't give me that garbage, that rubbish, that trash. Don't give me that. But, it's the white man. I can't do anything because the white man is holding me back. No, you're the one holding yourself back because you're using that rhetoric saying, okay, I can't go out here and try this because if I try, the white man is going to hold me back. And a lot of us really aren't trained. We're not even going out there. We think, if I go out here and try this, the white man is going to hold me back. Whose fault is that? That's not the white man's fault. That's your fault. And then we have examples of black people who have actually made it, but then they turn around and say, those are a bunch of coons. They played up to the white man. Played up to the white man. They're bootlickers. A white man can't tell a black man something that's going to help him in the long run. White man can't do that. Simply because he's white. He's not looking out for your interests. He's looking out for his own. Come on, people. Come on, folks. I tell you, this is crazy. This is crazy. We have excellent teachers at my school. We are trying so hard to keep students engaged, but parents behave like they are helpless. When I have a parent calling me saying all he does is play his Xbox all night and doesn't wake up early enough to get to his classes, can you please talk to him for me? You're the parent? In the back of my mind, I'm like, what? Did I give birth to your child? Exactly. Yahweh, that's a good I probably would have told her in her face. Oh, my child does play Xbox all night. You're the parent. You're supposed to be setting guidelines in the home to make your house conducive to learning. But instead, your child, first of all, you didn't teach your child discipline in their earlier years, and now it's harder to discipline them. And now you're like, oh, man, you know, I just don't want to discipline them. That, you know, it's too hard. Just let them do whatever. And then you want to sit there and cry and wheedle about your child failing, and you didn't even discipline the child when they needed to be disciplined. Now they're older, it's harder to discipline. And, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, bring it, boy. Oh, yeah. Bring your boys in, and you know those parents hated homeschooling. You know they did because, you know, they're so career-minded. I ain't got no time to teach my child. That's the teacher's job. And, look, let me tell you all something. Any one of us, if we allow just a moderate education into our brains, we all can qualify to be teachers to our children. I believe that. You might not believe it, but I do. Now, I'm not a PhD carrier. I don't even have a master's degree. But I know that I can teach a child. I can sit down and teach a child everything that child needs to know. I can teach them the timetables. I can teach them the geography, the continents. I can teach them about the states in the United States. I can teach them about biology. And no, I don't know everything. Nobody does. And some things I might have to reference, say, oh, let me check this out. Boom, boom, boom. But we all, if you don't have the mentality to help your child grow in their education, don't get mad at other people because your child doesn't accelerate with the rest of the class. And don't give me this learning, you know, we got so many of these people, oh, he's learning disabled. No, he's not learning disabled. He is disciplined. That's what he is. That's what he is. Learning disabled. Let's see. Flycatch. I said this before and I'll say it again. Blacks are nothing more than pawns. They are used on the political chessboard, yes. And like I said before, the pawn is usually the weakest piece on it's the weakest piece on the chessboard until it gets to that final stage, and then it can be promoted to whatever, you know, it can be promoted to a queen or whatever. But the pawn is the weakest piece on the chessboard, and that is where we are now as a black society. We are the weakest people on the chessboard. Instead of being the queen or the bishop or even the rook or the knight, we want to be pawns. You'll be surprised at what parents can tell me. I can write a book. Yeah, do that. I love to read that book. May I ask, how is it you have parents, why they tell you this info? Oh, okay. He's probably asking that question to Bring It Boy. He's probably asking that question to Yahweh Kai. Okay, let me go to my phones. I've been bloviating, and let's get this done. Release the fruit bat. Nations and ad hominem attacks and excessive profanity and things like that, you best hang up right now, because if you engage in those activities, I will hang up for you. You will suffer the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. But anyway, let me get this caller here. This was the first one, so I'll pull this caller up. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing today, sir?
Hey, what's up, Florida?
Hey, how you doing, man? Great show as usual. And that's true, you know, there's a lot of opportunities out here, man. Yeah, we got some prejudice in this country, but still, look at all the black people, athletes, and other positions in companies and other things. So this opportunity is still out there.
Yeah.
Don't blame it on everybody else. Just do the best you can do, and everything else should handle itself.
So, yeah.
But anyway, that's all I really want to say. Go ahead.
And while we're on that, you know, we got examples of black folks who are making it in this country. We got, I mean, your top four black quarterbacks in the NFL, all black. Your top four highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL are all black. Four out of five top quarterbacks in the NFL are black. But, oh, no, systemic racism. Oh, people want to criticize black quarterbacks. People don't like black quarterbacks. No one wants to see a black quarterback. Yeah, but your top four quarterbacks, as far as pay-wise, are black. And if we were living in such a racist nation, that wouldn't be possible. And you got black millionaires, athlete millionaires, LeBron James flapping his yap. And the only sense he probably has is to bounce a large orange rubber sphere and shoot it through a net. But, oh, we're being hunted down. Oh, black people, this is, oh, man, please, don't give me that garbage. Okay, let me get this other caller. Let me get this caller here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Vincent. It's Suzette.
Hey there.
From Southern. Hey. How's it going?
Oh, going good. Going real good. I hope today is finding you doing well.
Oh, yes, Robert and I are both doing well, our bringing it boy. Just listening to your show on a Saturday afternoon. But I wanted to, just for the record, mention that charter schools actually receive 20% less public funding or funding from the government as regular public schools. And they actually, many of them don't even have an actual school per se, as far as buildings and, you know, a gymnasium and all that. They'll actually, in New York, they have, maybe they rent out the bottom of a hotel where the kids will go attend classes or something, you know. And so those children actually learn more with less money and with less school and educational environment, I guess, if you will, with the classrooms and, you know, regular classroom setting type thing. And they seem to excel. And they give the opportunities to all, you know, children, but they have rules. And many times during these lotteries, if a child is chosen because their parents had entered him into the lottery, when they find out the rules as far as, okay, this means you're going to have to get involved. This means the teacher calls every night to make sure that the child, doesn't have any questions about any homework. If they do, the teacher will work with them because the class sizes are smaller. But the parent has to also be involved. And then they have the weekly parent meeting. So they really have to involve the parents. And some of them, fail to do so. And then they get upset. And then they use the race card. It's because we're black. And it's like, well, no, we have a set of rules. And in order for this to work so that we can educate your child to the best of their talents and abilities and potential, we need you to get involved. And if you can't, then we can't accept your child because it sets everybody back. And so it's unfortunate that these things happen, even with the Hispanic. It's with anybody, white, black, brown, doesn't matter. The rules are the rules. and it involves the parents. So it's very important to know if they actually operate with less money and do more.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I used to work at a private school here in Durham, North Carolina. It's the same school that Tracy McGrady, the basketball player, graduated from. And they have a 99% graduation rate, and they don't get those funds from the government, you know, and the teachers aren't paid as much. No, I don't even think the teachers are paid half as much as what the teachers are in the public schools. And you brought up a good point. You know, a lot of these schools, these charter schools, they don't get the money. Their teachers don't get paid as much as public school teachers, but they're turning out more successful students than the public schools. And see, the problem with our schools today is the children are following the money instead of the money following the child. That's the problem we have. You know, oh, we're throwing money here, so, you know, bring your child here and everything. Instead of saying, okay, I got this money. Let me make a choice for where I want my child to learn. But you have these, and folks can say whatever they want to, but these public schools are just getting kids ready for the main indoctrination that they're going to receive in our colleges and our universities. Because I would not encourage any child. If I had a child and they were ready to go to college or whatever, I wouldn't encourage them to go to these big name schools like UNC or USC or Northwestern or any of the rest of them, because all they are leftist liberal indoctrination centers. That's all they are. I would encourage my child to learn a skill or a trade, go to a vocational school. If I waste $100,000 for my child to go to Duke University to study Mid-Eastern puppetry, you know, something like that.
To Harvard, Yale, all of that, yeah.
Yeah. That's what schools are, our indoctrination centers. That's where a lot of these children, when they go into the colleges, you know, these children have Christian backgrounds and everything, and when they go to these indoctrination centers that we call universities, they done totally changed their point of view. You know, they were raised in a Christian school, but now they're going to these indoctrination centers, and it just now they come out top of the line atheists and liberals. That's basically what these colleges are turning. Yeah.
Yeah. They're teaching them about activism. Oh, I can't go to class today because I got to go protest, you know.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, that's great.
But, you know, a lot of these schools that don't have the proper, I guess, teachers that want to teach. And, it's the unions that are destroying public schools. Public schools could actually be much better. And probably with less money, but it just seems like when the schools are granted more money, it rarely goes for books kids have to bring their own pencils and paper now, where before we would have, when I was in school, we had pencils and paper that was passed out by the teacher unless we wanted to use a special pencil from home, you know, but now they don't have that. And it's like, why? Because that money's going to the unions, to the teachers who just negotiated their new contract for more money and more benefits.
Yeah.
And the administration to push paper and the bureaucracy there. So they all got raises, and the kids got squat, you know. They have to share books and hope that all the pages are in there. You know, it's just sad. It's just sad. And they say they care about the kids.
Yeah, they we see this so much in other areas, you know, like let's give a good example, Black Lives Matter. You know, all that money went to them, but they didn't use it to help out the black community. They went and used it to fortify themselves and to support their favorite politicians. But the black communities didn't see one cracked penny of that money. But they're sitting there, oh, Black Lives Matter, yes, let's fight the cause and all that. And where's the money? Did you help any children get a scholarship to go to school? Did you go to clean up these neighborhoods? Did you teach these children when they grow up to be responsible parents or anything like that. No, it went into their pockets. You know, Patrice Kohler, she got her million-dollar home, and she's looking at a fifth one in the Bahamas. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that come out here and they say, "Oh, we really care about you all." Yes, Black Lives Matter. They don't care about Black lives. They don't care. That moniker is just a smokescreen. That's all it is. That's all that Black Lives Matter is about. It's a smokescreen, just like Planned Parenthood. When they Planned Parenthood, and people say, "Oh, they're doing good things for women's health," and Planned Parenthood is just a smokescreen to their actual agenda, and that's to the murder of children, the murder of unborn babies, and the same thing with Black.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you made a lot of excellent points on today's shows, as always. But one that really stood out for me was when you talked about the parents being accountable. Because if the parents were accountable, then the people that are running around in the streets or anything else, and it doesn't matter what color, just parents in general, then they have their kids being led around. They become followers instead of leaders, you know, because they don't have that foundation at home. And so that was a really, really good point. When you have parents actively involved, or at least wanting to be involved to get to the point to where they'll show up at the school board meetings to say, "Hey, we just got a big check from the state that's supposed to go to our school. Where did that money go? Because my kid is still here, has the same book that he can't even read because half the pages are missing or anything else. Or my kid's not learning anything. Why not?" But they don't show up. They don't hold these people accountable. And if the parents don't hold them accountable, then they can't really complain that their kids aren't getting educated. And again, as you said, it's for them to teach at home. you know, and I hate to use Ben Carson only, but there were NASA scientists that helped get that rocket to the moon back when we had launched that rocket, and they were Black. You know, they didn't have that victim mentality. They had they're people who have a natural ability to with mathematics, and it seems like actually percentage wise, the Black community has an excellent statistical rate with that. But when you don't nurture those gifts, then they'll never reach their full potential, and it's really disappointing. When I see all these things going on, and it's like, wow, could you ever even imagine yourself dreaming beyond what you see tomorrow? And they can't. They've been blinded.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
And you mentioned about Black people helping us to get rockets to the moon and everything. I'm reminded of Hidden Figures, about those three Black women that helped NASA with their rocket. I don't know what the proper word is, but we show these movies and we point to our kids and we say, "See, Johnny, you could be proud of that person." But see, we're not breeding Johnny to become that type of person. We want to point to what other people have done and we say, "Oh yeah, see, we Black people, we do this, we've done this, and we've done this." But in today's society, They're not being bred to be that type of person, because, you know, that type of person is going to make good grades in school. And, oh, no, it's not cool to make good grades in school. You know, you're a nerd and you're this and you're that. And we point to this and we say, we Black people, we helped with some of the biggest scientific discoveries. But they're not being bred for it today. They're not being taught. You know, their parents are not even teaching them science at home. You know, they're not, and a lot of them, they want to talk about how proud they are to be of their race. The parents ain't even teaching them exact Black history. And I don't like using that term Black history, because to me, history is history, okay? And Black people play a part. That's, you know, I don't like that term Black history, but, you know, I'm just making a point, you know, that, you know, we're not even pushing our kids to be excellent, but we're pointing to other people who were successful and saying, "Yeah, I'm proud of that person because that's a Black person. Hey, see, a Black person can make it." So how are you bringing your son up or your daughter up to be that type of person, and they're not doing it? That's the problem.
Well, yeah, I think so too. From an outside looking in, it appears, because I don't know, it just appears that homes that have parents that didn't take advantage of the opportunities out there but now have children are jealous, and rather than to see them succeed and push them towards success, you know, they would rather keep them where they're at because they want to remain smarter than them, and they think by keeping them, you know, dumb or defeative type life where it's like, anybody could run for president as long as you're 35 years of age and you're an American, you know, at least living here for at least 5 years it is. And that's it. That's all it requires. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to be the, you know, brain person. You could be an idiot. But if you get enough people to support you, do the hard work, knocking on doors, and you get people to believe in what you are standing for, they'll vote for you and you will get elected. But instead you hear, oh, no, it's rigged. You know, there's too much money in it. There's, you know, you'll never get elected. Why would you think that you could get elected president? And they get made fun of. So the kid's like, yeah, I guess so. You know, and it's like, so people don't aim for the stars anymore. And it's, we need to get that mentality back. Aiming for the stars is good. Thank you, Vincent, for taking my call.
Okay, thank you, too. And, hey, you all stay safe there. I'm down there in Southern California. I got to mention Southern California. It was a place I wanted to go to one time, but now I'm not so sure. But now that I'm in California, I think it'll be that much sweeter. But anyway.
Yeah, we're working on it, Vince. We're working on it.
I know. Take care of yourself down there.
Thank you. You too, sir.
Oh, wait a minute. That was Bring It Boyee's, that was the actual Bring It Boyee. Wait a minute. Let me see.
I think
I'm still here.
What was that Bring It Boyee that I just heard?
Yeah. I thought I'd jump in there on that one.
Yeah. A lot of times I hear your wife, but I don't hear you. You're like Charlie and Charlie's Angels.
You're right. Well, she's constantly slapping my fingers when I start typing on the computer there and tell me, no, be nice.
Well, it's good to hear you all's voice. And, you know, we're still going to do that show. We're still going to do that show about that book, you know.
She's ready to rock anytime.
Give our regards to your little wife.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Thank you. I'll let her know that.
Thank you.
All righty. Yeah. And it's good to have people that come on your show, give you a word of encouragement and give you, you know, inject some more sense into your rhetoric and whatever. And I just enjoy that. That's why I do this program. And, well, it looks like my little setup is a little successful today. You know, I haven't heard anyone say they had any problems with the sound or anything like that, but what I got set up is kind of crude. You know, I'm set up with a webcam and an iPhone and some portable speakers, and it's kind of crude, but I'm not getting any comments about, you know, the sound being bad. So you never know, I might try this again. I might have to work the bugs out of StreamYard, though, because I noticed my video on Facebook, it says live, but it's not actually live. The sound is off a little bit, so I'll probably have to work the bugs out of that one. But, let's see. The kids don't take advantage of it. You don't see them sitting behind the computers. Yeah, oh, gosh. Oh, man. Yahweh, you don't know. My wife can tell you about this one because during this COVID, the daycare that she works at, they set it up for the regular school kids to come in and get on their computers and whatever. And a lot of kids don't even know their passwords. And a lot of the kids, they come there with their computers aren't even charged. Now, see, this is what I'm talking about, parenting. You can't even bring yourself to let your kids know, hey, you're in from school. There's the electrical outlet. Charge your computer up so it can be ready for the morning. The parents don't even do that. They don't even do that. And then they want to sit here and talk about, oh, my, my son is falling behind. It's the school's fault. No, it is your fault. And I've shared this story before. When I was coming up in Fort Washington, Maryland, Prince George's County, right outside of Washington, D.C., my parents had two sets of encyclopedias. One day they noticed I had an interest for animals and things like that. One of my favorite shows in the 70s was this show called Wild Wild World of Animals. Those of you all who grew up in the 70s, y'all probably familiar with that show. It was called Wild Wild World of Animals. And so they decided to get me a set of books based on that show, Wild Wild World of Animals. And let me tell you all something. These books are really not made to be easy reading for children. But I was reading these books when I was 8 years old. And just look it up. If you can find it on Amazon or whatever, you can get an example of it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Some of these books, you read, if I were to put these books in front of a typical 8-year-old right now, they'd be like, what am I supposed to be reading? And some of the adults, you put that book in front of them, they'd be like, what the heck is this? But I was reading that at 8 years old. And I get frustrated when people say black people don't have the same opportunities that white people do. No, you got the same opportunities. You're just not taking advantage of them. And then you want to sit here and bloviate about how the United States is a racist nation, where I can tell you, my wife can send you to some countries where they're racist. My wife grew up she spent a good deal of her life in China, about 10 years in China. You want to see some racism, and you all want to talk about the United States? And if this country is so racist, how come people are risking their lives and their freedoms to come to this country way more than any other country? A huge outpouring of people coming into the Congo or Russia or even China or Australia or any of the rest of these countries. The country by far that has the most people wanting to break the borders to come to this country because of the opportunities is the United States of America. Now, we're as bad a country as people make it out to be, and I'm not saying that we are a perfect country, but if we are as bad a country as people make it out to be, why do we have millions? I mean, they risk breaking our laws to come here. And this country is a racist country. And you all buy into that garbage because you're letting someone do the thinking for you. You're letting someone else do your thinking for you. Instead of using your own thought process, you'd rather somebody else work it for you. And let me tell you, they're going to work it for you, all right. They're going to work it for you to the point where you believe what they tell you. Mark my words. That's why our news media is so screwed up, because our news media wants you to think a certain way. They don't care about you getting the truth. All they care about is getting you to think a certain way. And Lord, look. I don't want to live anywhere else on this planet, the United States. I mean, there are places I want to visit, like Australia, maybe Canada, maybe some parts of Africa, maybe. But I don't want to live anywhere else. This is where I want to live. And I love this country. I thank God that I had the opportunity to be brought up in this country, to learn some of the principles. That, like I said, America is not perfect. America's not perfect. We got some bugs to work out, and we'll be doing that until the end of time, until Judgment Day. It's always going to be like that. But when these people get up here and they talk about how racist the United States is, I'm sorry, but I do take offense to that. I take a serious offense to that. Because you can go to any other country, and they have it worse than the United States. My wife comes from Liberia. I've said this several times. In Liberia, it is against the law for a white person to become a citizen in their country. Let that sink in a little bit. You see, a lot of us, we don't we don't see anything wrong with that because we want to see everything through a black lens all the time. Oh well, white people, well, that's their law. But let a white country say we don't want any black people to become citizens. All of a sudden, that country is racist. What makes Liberia any less racist than any other country? I mean, for real. But we want to talk about, and you got people who were born and raised in this country, enjoy the benefits of living in this country, and they think this is the worst country in the world, and they want to push us towards socialism without realizing, boneheads, not realizing that socialism has never worked, not one time. And you got people just slouching towards communism. Oh, we need socialism. We need communism. Let's tax the rich. I was listening to that. I listened to a snippet of the State of the Union address by Sleepy Joe Biden, and he's talking about the rich need to pay their fair share, and nobody has been able to answer the question. What is the richest fair share percent of the taxes? So tell me, what is their fair share? And folks, don't y'all buy into this lie that Joe Biden is just going to soak the rich folks. Y'all keep buying into that lie every time a liberal gets into the White House. Y'all keep buying that lie. And then you all buy the lie that when a conservative gets into the White House, that they're going to give all these opportunities for the rich. Y'all keep buying into that lie. Y'all keep letting this media and these politicians play you for a fool, because that is exactly what they are doing to you. They are playing you for a pure fool, and you're buying it hook, line, and sinker. So folks, until you learn to think for yourself, because a lot of people, sad to say, are not learning, they haven't learned to think for themselves. They're letting someone else do the thinking for them. As long as you allow yourself to be a slave, your mentality to be a slave to somebody else, they're going to keep you thinking the way that they want you to think. You're letting somebody else do the thinking for you. You are a huge disadvantage. You can't think for yourself. You're letting, let me go to class. Let me turn on CNN. CNN going to do the thinking for me. Yeah, CNN, pour that knowledge in me. All they're pouring in is what they want you to believe, not what you should know. Because them rascals don't care. They don't care about your education. You think these people care about the education? These people crying about we need more money for education, they don't care about your education, because they know they keep you dumb, you're easier to manipulate. You're easier to brainwash. Learn to think for yourselves. We got the opportunity. We have libraries. We have Amazon. We have all this stuff open up to us, and a lot of us are not taking advantage of it. My child got to do a book report. Oh, take them to the library. I remember when I was in sixth grade, I had to do a report on Nicaragua. About a few miles from where I live was the library, Oxon Hill, Maryland. Or Oxon Hill Road. Went there, got all everything I needed to put that report together. I busted a B- on that report. Folks, you need to get involved in your children's learning. That child's learning is your responsibility, not the teacher's. Yeah, the teachers have a job to do or whatever. They're there to teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I'm going to be honest with you. When it comes to history, I think that parents should be teaching the children the history. I could be wrong, but that's just my opinion. That's my opinion. But anyway, it says, bring it, boy, you say, the other day I saw a car with a Bernie and a sticker reading, billionaires should not exist. Yeah, that's what he believes, but he's a billionaire himself. Exactly. I said the same thing. Who determines someone's fair share? Yeah, exactly. Total garbage. Democrats never change their spots. Emotional blacks and professing Christians voted for this clown. Now our pockets will get hit hard. Yeah. And that's a sad state of affairs. It really is. Folks, I have come to the end of the show, and I want to thank you all for coming in and adding your rhetoric to the program, to the chat room and whatever. My little setup was successful. I think I might go with this setup from now on. It was really successful. I didn't get any complaints about the sound or anything like that, and I'm really glad for that. And so I might go with this setup, you know, in future shows. I might have to get the bugs out of StreamYard on my Facebook page. And yeah, Yahweh, yes, my show does need to be longer. I wish it was 3 hours, you know, do a Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity. But I might have to work in my StreamYard and, you know, but whatever. Next week, God willing, should have another edition of Black by Color Only. And, folks, when I do these programs, don't just take my word for it. Go check it out for yourself and everything. And you know, because I'm not just up here just to flack my yap off and you just listen to me. But, you know, I really want to encourage you to be active in your learning and whatever. And if you see something that I and through your research and study, you notice that I said something wrong, hey, come correct me about it. You know, I don't want to go around telling people falsehoods or lies or anything like that. You know, just let me know. And you know, we're here to learn together. It's not about me talking and you learning. It's all of us are learning together. But anyway, you all have a good Saturday. Enjoy yourselves. This is Messini Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a good Saturday.